How's it going, everybody? This is the Nitty Gritty. My name is Chad. With me, as usual, is Leonard. And we have been absent for a little while. And you might see some videos posted out of order. But we have both had a lot going on, hence the reason for our, hiatus from the channel. We thank all of you who are still with us. Yeah, Leonard, you are in a new location.
Yes, some people who are watching on YouTube may say, it looks like he's in bed, and I am in bed. A couple weeks ago from the time of this recording, I wound up rupturing my Achilles tendon. So I was, I got surgery about a week after that. And at the time of this recording, I'm going back to the doctor tomorrow. And hopefully I'll get into a walking boot and then I can be a little more mobile. Other than that, during the past 2 weeks, I pretty much was going from the bed to the bathroom and back. Gotta keep all weight off of it. And from a previous video, some might remember that I was in a play, Clue, which was kind of changing our schedule for taping a little bit. And I had to pull out of that, unfortunately, because I can't be on my feet. So that's been my reason why we haven't recorded in a bit. Because I've been just with surgery and appointments and just being laid up. It just kind of threw me off the schedule. So hopefully next week I'll be back in my usual post downstairs of the apartment that we're in. Yeah, making the best of it.
Yeah, it's a crappy situation for sure all around. And we're glad that you are talking with us, even if it is from your bed. And yeah, hopefully the injury gets healed quickly. On my end, it is, I have had a lot of job stuff going on. We'll say that. Also, my kids have ended school. So there were just countless things happening in relation to that. There were piano recitals. There were, end of the year parties, and just every day was filled with something new. We didn't have a ton of time to even breathe in this house lately. The kids are done with school. My wife will be done with school soon. There's a heat wave going on, and we're all trying to stay cool. And today we're going to be bringing you another one of our book reviews. And we've done this a couple times. Every now and then we'll give you a review of something random like this. And this is not a new book, but it is one I came across because if you're lucky enough to have a Spotify premium membership, you will know that some of the audiobooks on there are free. And I saw that this one was one of the books that was free. So I decided to give it a read because it wasn't terribly long. And Brian Gewirtz is always somebody that I've found interesting, what little I knew of him before this book. So that's how I came across it. It is called There's Just One Problem, and I'm going to read from my phone here the rest of the title. True Tales of the Former One-Time Seventh Most Powerful Person in WWE. And Leonard, you, I assume, were gifted this book.
Actually, no. I did purchase this myself.
Okay.
From a discount book company, which I found. So I don't know if I want to say how much I paid for it, but it was, let's see here. Let's see if it has a retail price on the book somewhere. $30. So I paid probably about a quarter of that.
Well, hey, sounds like you got a good deal.
I found this place and I had purchased some books like for my wife for Christmas. And when perusing around things that I enjoy, like wrestling and comics, I found a few other books. And that's where and how I picked it up.
Yeah, it was published August 16th, 2022. It's 288 pages. And the audiobook is not read by Brian Gewirtz. But the person who reads the audiobook did a good job. I, off the top of my head, I can't think of any mispronunciations of wrestling terms or events. So, but because I say that because that has happened in other books I've read.
I could see that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, this was, so I'll just say, I've like, there's a lot of interesting stories in this book. And I read it, longer ago than what Leonard did. So Leonard could probably detail some of the more specific stories that he recalled,
Sure.
but I will
I
just
should mention, since I've been laid up in bed, I've been reading a lot. So that's what made me pull this off the shelf and said, hey, let's get this read and something we can talk about.
absolutely. There's a lot of, it is funny. There's a lot of interesting stories in it. What I, I'm on Goodreads, and one of the things that I said on Goodreads, I'll reserve my, showing my rating until the end, but one of the things I said on book on Goodreads is that it reads more like a patchwork than it does a general autobiography. So I'll start there. Leonard, why don't you tell us some of your thoughts?
Sure. Well, I would kind of agree with that. And I like the fact that it wasn't a straight linear narrative. I had just recently read as well Mel Brooks's autobiography, and it is year by year in order.
Oh, wow.
And there's a lot about his early life I didn't particularly care about. His service during World War II,
Right.
didn't particularly care about. It's like, let's get to the movies. Let's get to those things. And so I would have to say that Gurwitz does that he doesn't like, and because I was coming off the Brooks book, I was like, man, I hope the first like three or four chapters ain't about this guy as a kid because I don't care.
Right.
And it's not. He does have a little bit about his background and how he was a wrestling fan and what he was doing in college and coming out of college and becoming a comedy writer, some of that stuff and how it ties in. But it's not a linear narrative. And I kind of like that about it. It's in general order, but not particularly. And I would say he led the book with his best story, that being part of the wrestler's court.
Right.
Which as soon as I read that, I was interested. That was a very interesting story, and that was a good choice as far as this is setting that story. We talk, I want to hear your thoughts on that story. That story set up, I think, the tone of the book and the type of the information we were going to get, the background information. I think he uses that to kind of set up what the world of WWE that he was in was like. Briefly, what happened was that a writer had never been taken to mayor's court, which is a thing, but wrestler's court before.
Right.
But Gurwitz was challenged by Bob Holly because he saw Edge give a Flash action figure to Gurwitz, and it was because Edge had just come from the San Diego Comic-Con where he had done an appearance. He knew that Gurwitz was a Flash fan. He had come upon this figure. He gave it to him. But the challenge was that Gurwitz was taking bribes in order to write material and get Christian and Edge on TV. And that's something I thought was very interesting that he did talk about throughout the book, was the idea of that he had a lot of power of who was getting on TV and who wasn't getting on TV. And how he connected to a lot of the younger and newer guys like Kurt Angle and Edge and Christian and The Rock, and how a lot of the older guys like Stone Cold Steve Austin and Bob Holly and such, and Triple H even though he worked very closely with Vince and Stephanie, hated him. And now he says, oh, we're on good terms now because he's not there, but hated him at the time. So I think that story makes a good break between what wrestling had been before, the Attitude Era, and what it has become after. The idea that being a quote unquote writer for wrestling is now much more common and more of a thing than it had been before, where you had bookers and agents and people helping guys lay out matches, but they weren't writing storylines, they weren't writing promos. So one, I thought that was the best story, and two, I think it was a story that really helps to set the demarcation line of where Gurwitz came into the business and how the business was changing.
Yeah, and like they kind of, even in other shows or documentaries, you see they look at, in retrospect, they look at Wrestler's Court as almost like a sign of respect you know that they're kind of accepted in a way, which you had mentioned the fact that he was the first writer to be brought to wrestler support. And I think that, you know, a good kind of a theme of the book is, you know, him having these stories and maybe butting heads with certain people and, you know, not everybody understanding him or his way of thinking right away, but they do eventually. And like you said, he gets along with most people now. You know, he's not there now. But he does pop in from time to time. You know, so, you know, anytime you see anything with The Rock, even these days, you know, chances are he's
Yeah, because
standing
he works for The Rock 7 Bucks Productions. I forget his exact title with the company.
there.
And of course, this book is from 2022, so nothing about The Rock's recent return for WrestleMania and such was in there. And it should also be mentioned that he talks a lot about Vince McMahon, and he gives a lot of praise to Vince McMahon. But of course, this was before all the accusations and everything against Vince came out, you know. Some of those may have came out when the book was published, but I know not at the time that he was writing the book.
And you know, there's a lot of like between this book and Jim Ross's second book, Under the Black Hat, you really get a more like a better idea if you kind of combine them as to the way Vince was behind the scenes. And you know, he does have respect for Vince, but they also, you know, were at odds many times. And
Yeah.
maybe you know, Brian Gewirtz was better at times picking his fights more so than like a Paul Heyman, which, you know, any podcast you listen to, Paul Heyman would, you know, beat a dead horse with some of his battles. But
Well, that's why I think it was interesting was Gerwitz definitely labels himself as an introvert and finding himself in this world and how he had to learn to kind of stand up for himself, but within that, picking the hill he wanted to die on.
And you know, you say introvert, and like so now, if you're watching any of the A&E stuff that WWE does, you'll notice that he does make a lot of appearances in interviews now because he was the main writer and he had a big hand in a lot of things that were happening then. And like you could see, you know, how he's more of an introvert, maybe more like not used to giving interviews, and at the same time, like, another former 411 colleague of ours read this book and, you know, talked about how he well he questioned he being Tony Farinella questioned whether or not he had a ton of respect for the wrestling business as a whole and maybe that he was found himself funnier than he maybe was in reality. And I can kind of see like a little bit of smarminess, you know, in how he and like if I were there behind the scenes, I can see where he might rub certain people like that. You know, you're a young, cocky writer, you know, and here are all these, you know, big wrestlers and you're trying to help them.
He's very self-effacing in the book, but at the same time, it feels very tongue-in-cheek. It feels like, well, I'm going to cut me down so you can't cut me down, kind of a thing.
Yeah, no,
And
absolutely.
I do feel that a lot of the humor is forced. You know, it is funny, but he's trying too hard to be funny. And it feels like a sitcom writer wrote it because there's a lot of the same joke structures. Like he'll say, "Oh, well, I said blah 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 blah." Oh, of course I didn't say that. But there's like that in every single chapter. And then too, in every other page, like I just opened the book at random, and you can see at the bottom there's like a footnote. And the book, did they see you had the audio book? Did they do the footnotes?
I don't remember the footnotes.
So in this book, there are at the bottom of just about every other page, there are footnotes. And all the footnotes are is another joke. It's a joke that he couldn't fit into the main narrative, but he put it in anyway. And that irritated the crap out of me after a while. Because you see the star and you read it and it's like, here's another joke. Like it's not background information. It's not like him defining wrestling terms. Some of it is, but like 1% of it is. So I thought it was him trying way too hard to be funny and definitely writing like a sitcom writer.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, like, he can be a very funny guy, and you can see where he had such an impact on the business. You know, one of my favorite, it's not even a full story. I forget what event he was at when he was little, but the fact that he brought to a WWF event a sign that said, "I want a Mantar sandwich," like, to me was hilarious. Like, that's such a genius sign. Like, I would never be that creative with my signs. Most people aren't, as you can see on TV every week. But like that to me is very creative. Like, and it shows the way his sense of humor works, I think.
And there is a chapter called, I can't remember what the exact title of it is, but it's basically about how funny doesn't equal money in the wrestling business and how he kind of dissects that notion. Even though it seems like most of the storylines that he talks about in the book were humorous storylines, was storylines that had humor to them. He talks extensively about how he introduced humor to Kurt Angle's character, which was, I think, a plus. But also, he came up with extremely dumb crap, like Edge and Booker T feuding over a shampoo commercial in Japan,
And he
and
talks about
basic.
Katie Vick, if I recall, right?
Yeah, which was, and he says that was not him. He says that was a Vince McMahon idea, but that he was around for it. And he also talks too. I thought that chapter felt like him not trying to be funny, but being open and honest and saying, okay, here's what happened for real. And there's also the chapter about Vince Russo, with Vince Russo coming in. And you can tell that he does not like Vince Russo, because he felt like Vince Russo threw everybody under the bus on what happened when he came back. And of course, it's hard to say what was true, not true, but I would tend to believe Gerwitz more, especially because Gerwitz can actually produce facts. Like, you know, Russo said, oh, there was like 20 writers, and Gerwitz like, there was three. And you can check and you can find out, yes, there were three writers in that writer's room, or four, or how many of it that it was. But those were chapters that I thought was him peeling back a little bit more and just being a little more honest and blunt about, hey, here's what really happened. And I don't know if I would like the book if it was more of that, but I think I would like it to be maybe more balanced between the humor and maybe just relating a story and relating the truth of a story.
Yeah, I agree. And Vince Russo obviously is one of the most divisive characters in wrestling history. And I mean, it's gonna happen, I think, over time, like, and if not already, that he'll be in the category of the Ultimate Warrior in terms of how people talk about him, which is like
But
90%.
he's not going to get a redemption. I don't think Vince Russo is going to show up and get a Hall of Fame induction.
And, well, I mean, if Vince was still there, I would say there's a possibility, because I think Vince respects history to a certain degree, but Vince is not there. So I would don't know how Triple H thinks of Vince Russo, but yeah, I would say with the new ownership and creative team, I wouldn't bet on him getting in the Hall of Fame or appearing on Raw the next night with a cryptic speech.
That's not going to happen. I want to see if there's anything else I want to mention about the book. I made some notes here, of course. I mean, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a very light and breezy read. I did have some issues with the humor and all that. Oh, another story I loved was he talked about, and again, this was him being kind of, hey, here's what happened, was the anonymous Raw general manager. And how he mentioned how it was his idea, but what they did with it was not what he wanted to do, that he mentioned that Hornswoggle had done, like they were having a promo class, and Hornswoggle did this very open and honest promo talking about himself and growing up loving wrestling and what it was like growing up as a little person, all this. And that made Gerwitz say, hey, we should give this guy something serious to do, something more serious to do. And so let's make him the anonymous Raw general manager. But then, and again, this is I think of a really important point because of where Gurwitz is coming from. He wrote Hornswoggle like a monologue, and he couldn't deliver it. He couldn't
Right.
deliver a monologue. So it was like, well, we're just going to have him do his usual crap because he can't do anything else.
Right.
And that I thought was funny and true to life. And of course, that chapter comes after them talking about the Raw general man, the Raw guest host era,
Right.
which I thought was very interesting to hear some of those stories, how some of those people came in. That
Yeah.
Bob Barker story was excellent.
Yeah.
I think everybody will say Bob Barker was the best guest host. And that story was really cool to read. I enjoyed that. And so that was another part of the book I liked and I read. There's a lot about the Steve about working with Austin. He talks about Austin leaving the company because they wanted him the job to Brock Lesnar and what that was like. There's a lot about Cena and Rock in there, and how Cena he didn't get along tremendously well with Cena, and I think that's interesting. But I don't know if this has anything to do with it. He doesn't comment on this, but the fact that Cena came from OVW, like he learned a Jim Cornette way. And I don't know if that influenced what that relationship was like.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. But again, the idea of the old school versus the new school and that bumping heads. That theme is throughout the book.
Yeah, absolutely. And he had good ideas and he had some bad ideas. Man, I hated that Raw General, the anonymous Raw General Manager era. I could not, that annoyed the hell out of me.
And he talks about, well, we had to do something. I'm like, no, you didn't. I mean, for how many years was there not a general manager?
And that's the thing, like they got into this funk where it's like, oh, we have to have somebody. Why? Like,
Go back and look at the 80s. Jack Tunney showed up maybe twice a year
right, yeah,
when you needed a figurehead to do something.
right,
Other than that, it was just these were the matches that were happening,
yeah, and now they have Adam Pearce and
Nick Aldis is still there.
Nick Aldis, who. I know I don't watch every week, but they make appearances, but they're, I don't know, it seems less intrusive, their roles. And even in AEW, they're starting to bring out, not as a like a general manager, but they're starting to bring out Christopher Daniels in a as like an agent role, and like he'll come out and kind of make matches, but they also, of course, have the EVPs, they call themselves,
Yes.
executive vice president. But I don't know, like you said, back in the old days, you really didn't need all that. And I think there's this, need now where, like, oh, we have to have somebody. You don't really, but
No, but but they're so used to it being that way.
yeah.
That's kind of one of those things now, and I don't know what the writing staff is like now, but that happened kind of with The Simpsons, where you had Simpsons writers who grew up on The Simpsons. So they were basically doing a copy of what they had already seen.
Right.
And now you are having writers who are doing a copy of what Gurwitz did.
Right.
They know, again, it's probably younger people. So it's people who know from the Ruthless Aggression era on up.
Right. Yeah, true. So I gave this on Goodreads. You can only do like a 1 star, 2 star, 3 star. You can do halves on Goodreads. So I kind of wrote in there 3.5 out of 5. And because I liked it, I had some issues with it. Overall, it was an easy, entertaining read. So, worth checking out if you are interested in wrestling books.
So I found that the Goodreads overall score was 4.1 stars. So you're a little under the average. But
Yep.
I would probably be right around you. I mean, like I said, I did enjoy it. I thought it was a different viewpoint than other wrestling books I had read, which were mostly from wrestlers. I did read Eric Bischoff's book, which we talked about.
Right.
But again, there was so much just in the style like I said, the humor and the footnotes that kind of threw me off a little bit, but I enjoyed the fact that it was a light, easy, fun read and that it was a different perspective than what I was used to. So I would probably go in the 3.5 range with you as well.
Right. All right. Well, if you've read this book, let us know what you think, and wish Leonard well in the comments that he has a continues to have a speedy recovery, and we will try to get on a more consistent basis with you all and continue to bring you fun stuff. So, to the listeners, thank you for continuing to check us out. We are also available where you listen to podcasts, and you can check out our other videos. Segment surgery, stupid questions, random match reviews. And for Leonard, my name is Chad, and we will see you next time.